Turn with me this evening, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, please, in chapter 22. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 22. I will begin to read at verse 1. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we'll look to the Lord once again to bless the reading of his word this evening. What we've read from Matthew's Gospel tonight is a story that the Lord Jesus told. We call them parables. They're called parables in the Bible. And they're stories that we really need to think about, because they're stories that contain a meaning, an underlying meaning, an underlying message that we need to grasp hold of and we need to understand. You see, the Lord Jesus is talking to them and he's speaking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's speaking about the kingdom, the sphere, where heaven rules, where heaven's rules are seen, and where heaven's rules are applied. Now, you see, that isn't really the world around us today, is it? Because heaven's rules, God's rules, that are found in God's word, the Bible, even in Scotland that we live in today, are being overturned. And people are saying, and politicians are saying, we know better than what God has said, and we don't want to follow the rules that God has laid down. The Lord Jesus isn't talking about that. The Lord Jesus is talking about a time, and he's talking about a place. He's talking about a kingdom where heaven's rules are seen, and heaven's rules are followed, or heaven's rules are enforced, if you like. He's talking about a time when heaven's king is on the throne. And heaven's king is ruling over the world. He's looking particularly to a future day in the history of this world when the Lord Jesus himself will come and the Lord Jesus will reign. And I know that this particular passage and the stories that are found at this particular point in Matthew's Gospel have specific reference to the Jews that he came to speak to. You see, the Lord Jesus came to his own people. He came to his people, the Jews, and he brought the invitation of heaven to them. The invitation, if you like, that came, come to the marriage, everything's ready. And the people, the Jewish people, didn't want it. And as a result, the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, has gone out. And it's gone out into the whole world. It's come to Scotland this evening. And the message of salvation comes to us. It's coming throughout the world. Well, I want to draw specific application. I want to think about some specific things in the story this evening that we can learn lessons from. They're maybe not particularly the lessons that the Lord Jesus had in mind in its original context, in its original setting. I want you to see that they're very important lessons that we need to think about tonight. You see, I want to speak about heaven. I want to speak about the place where the Lord Jesus is, the place where God dwells, the place that is laid up in store for those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Now, if I was wanting to make heaven an attractive proposition to you, I wonder how I would describe it. See, the Lord Jesus describes it here in terms of a wedding. And we all can understand that picture. The Lord Jesus was the master storyteller, and he would take pictures that people could understand. He would take events that people could understand, and he'd show them just a little glimpse of what heaven's like. He says it's like a wedding. You say, well, what happens at a wedding? Well, you know what happens at a wedding. People get married. But weddings are a time of joy. And they're a time of celebration. And they're a time of feasting. Particularly in Middle Eastern countries. And they go in for weddings in a big way, they do. And they would take a week of celebrations. You know, we would, down in England, we'd just about get through the afternoon, and that would be the amount of celebrations. Here in Scotland, they do a bit more celebrating. They celebrate on into the evening. But over there in the Middle East, they'd celebrate for a whole week. A whole week celebrations about a wedding, an extended period of time. And the Lord Jesus is speaking about heaven. And he's speaking about an extended period of time of celebration, of joy. And of rejoicing. I wonder if you can picture what that would be like. You see, heaven is a place where there's no sorrow. And heaven is a place where there's no pain. Heaven's a place where there's no sickness and no disease. Heaven's a place where there is no sin. Heaven's a place where there are no more tears. And heaven's a place where there's no more dying. I wonder if there's a way in which I could make heaven attractive to you this evening. You see, the message goes out and the invitation comes out just like at a wedding. The invitation goes out. And God is sending out his invitation this evening through the message of the gospel. God is opening up heaven to you this evening. God has made a way back to himself. Listen, the message that went out, the invitation that went out, is the same message that goes out today. Everything is ready. Everything is prepared. Come. It's a simple invitation, isn't it? It's a simple message. Everything is prepared. Everything has been done. Come. And that's the message of the gospel. Everything has been done. Heaven has been prepared for people like us. You say people like us? Yes, people like us. People who aren't perfect. We've spoken about heaven, and heaven is a perfect place. And heaven has been prepared for people who aren't perfect. For people who do things that are wrong. For people who lie and cheat and do all the kind of things that we do. You say, well, how's it possible? How's it possible that people like us can be in a perfect place like heaven and not make it unperfect? We see the way has been prepared. The Lord Jesus has died. The Lord Jesus has died on Calvary. We spoke about it. Come, sinner, behold what Jesus has done. Behold how he suffered for thee. They crucified him, God's innocent son. They left him to die on the tree. And yet it's not just the fact that he was crucified that means that the way's been made ready. It's not just the fact that he died on a cross that makes it the fact that sinners like us can be saved. It's what he did there. It's the fact that he was prepared to take the judgment. We'll think about judgment shortly. That he was prepared to take the punishment that was due to our sin. And he was prepared to take it himself. And he was prepared to suffer in our place. And he was prepared to be judged by God so that we could be in heaven. So that the invitation can go out and say, all you need to do is come. All you need to do is accept the invitation that God sends out. Of course, if we were to stay there, and if we were to think just of the fact that the Lord Jesus had died, that wouldn't really be any message at all. Because as you know, as well as I do, dead people can't help anyone, can they? But you see, the Lord Jesus is no longer dead. The Lord Jesus is alive. The Lord Jesus rose again the third day, and the Lord Jesus is still alive, and he's in heaven. And because he's in heaven, then heaven is ready. And heaven's ready for us. If we accept his invitation. If we do what he says. If we take the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, and we'll think again about that very shortly. You see, there's no other way that it's possible. If you think about it, we've spoken about the fact that we aren't perfect, and we all know that we're not perfect. And heaven is perfect. And if we're there, and if we're not perfect, then we can't be in heaven because heaven is perfect. You see, there's only... We needed someone to take our place. We needed someone to take all our imperfections and take it all away. So there's none of it left when God sees us. We need to be saved. And we need the Lord Jesus to do it. It's no wonder that the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no one can get into heaven without the Lord Jesus. Nobody. Why? Because he's the only one who's prepared the way. He's the only one who has done what's necessary, what's needed, so that we can be saved. And so the invitation goes out. But you see, when an invitation goes out, it demands a response, doesn't it? An invitation goes out, it says, come to the wedding. And you then have a choice to make. You see, the gospel demands a choice. You can't just sit there and do nothing. Actually, sitting there and doing nothing is a choice in itself. You can't not do anything. You have to respond. When someone sends an invitation to their party, sometimes they'll put RSVP at the bottom, which is an acronym for a bit of French, which means Respondez s'il vous plaît, which means please get back to us and tell us whether you want to come or not, basically. Please reply. You know, even if it didn't say that, if you didn't turn up, then no, you didn't want to come anyway. Or then no, you couldn't. But you see, the gospel demands a response. We need to reply to the invitation. And we see different responses in the story that we read this evening. The first one is an amazing response. It's an incredible response. Unbelievable, in the unbelievable sense of the word, kind of response. So what does it say in verse 3? Send out these servants to call them, and they wouldn't come. It's more than that. It's not just that they didn't come. It's that they didn't want to come. Do you find that incredible? When you think of how wonderful and how glorious a place heaven is, you know, there's not an awful lot about heaven in the Bible. And the reason for that is it's completely indescribable. The Bible says, eye hasn't seen, you've never seen anything like that, nor has ear heard, you've never heard anything like this either, nor has it entered into the heart of man, you've never even imagined the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Heaven is completely unimaginable. And they didn't want to come. They didn't want to. It doesn't say the reason why they didn't want to. But I guess there are many different reasons why people don't want to. You see, being in God's heaven means you have to come God's way and you have to do what God says. Being in God's heaven means you have to trust Christ as your Saviour because there's no other way. Being in God's heaven means that you have to take Jesus as Lord of your life, as the one who's the master, as the one who's in control, as the one who commands and we follow, who says and we obey. Maybe some people don't want to do that. You see, as well, being on the road to God's heaven, having God's salvation, means you can't be the same as you were before. You see, becoming a Christian means an absolute radical change of life. Now, it's the best change that you could ever experience. And it's a change that you don't really do. It's a change that is done for you as God works through you and God works in your life. But I suppose some people look at it and think, well, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give up this. And if I'm going to become a Christian, well, I'm not going to be able to go there anymore. And if I'm going to become a Christian, I'm not going to be able to do that. And they look at it and think, well, really, I don't want that. And yet, you see, that's kind of muddled thinking. Because it's the kind of things that we want to do, the sinful things, the things that would keep us away from God, that are keeping us out of heaven in the first place. And I tell you, everything's worth giving up. Paul, did we look at that one the other week? Paul, he decided, and he weighed it up. He says, everything that was gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more worth having than having the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and having a home in heaven. There isn't. There really isn't. Nothing more important at all. And it's so incredible. It's so amazing that people didn't want it. There are many people around that don't want it. I wonder if you're one of them. Have you thought about it and you said, well, I don't really want that? I urge you to think again if that's the case. But you know, there are some more people. And the servants are sent out again. You know, God's so patient with us. So patient. I don't know how many times it is maybe now that we've been sat in gospel meetings like this. And God would send his servants time after time after time after time to plead with you to be saved. To plead with you. And he does it. And he sends and he sends and he sends. For the grace and the kindness and the goodness of God. But verse 5, what's the second reaction? They made light of it. They made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They didn't think it was important. They didn't think it was a priority. There were other things that they felt were more pressing than the invitation of the king. I wonder if you think there's something more pressing than salvation. I want to tell you tonight there isn't. There's nothing more urgent. There's nothing more desperate that you need to get sorted out than your standing with God and whether or not your home is in heaven. And whether or not you're saved, and whether or not your sins are forgiven, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more important than that. And yet so often, we can be tricked into thinking that there is. So often the things of life and the daily humdrum of life just crowds in And we think, well, I've got to get that done. And I've got this to do, and I've got that to do, and I've got lots of other nothing to do. And there's so many things that become priorities. But you see, there's nothing more important. You see, how long is it that we're down here anyway? 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. But what's that in comparison with eternity? What's that in comparison with forever? You see, what we're speaking about is where we're going to spend eternity. What we're speaking about is whether or not we're in God's heaven forever. I tell you, there's nothing more important than that, is there? Nothing more important than that. There were those that made light of it. It just wasn't on their list of priorities. There's another reaction in verse 6. So the rest of them, they took their servants, entreated them spitefully, and slew them. There are those that outrightly said, we don't want this at all. We want nothing to do with this message. We want nothing to do with this invitation. And this is what we think of your invitation. I trust there's nobody listening that would think that. Or we might not take the gospel preacher and string him up after the meeting. At least I hope not. After this meeting anyway. But we might say in our hearts, no, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to tell you this evening that if that's your attitude, if that's your thinking, you're in a very dangerous position. Listen to what happened in verse 7. And this includes all. Those who didn't want to come, those who neglected it, those who thought it wasn't important, who thought it wasn't a priority, and those who outrightly rejected it, they're all in the same camp, they're all in the same boat. Because they've rejected an invitation from the king. You know, if you were invited by the queen to go to one of her garden parties, or if you're invited by the queen to go to something, if you said, no, I don't want to come, it's not looked on very well, you know. She's not too impressed. So I understand. I don't know her personally. But she's not too impressed with that kind of attitude. You see, in the days in which we live, it's not really so bad. But you know, in say the Middle Ages, if you didn't accept an invitation from the king, then your neck was on the line. If the king said, come, you came. And you see, when we speak about the gospel as an invitation, sometimes we can think, well, it's a kind of take it or leave it thing. But you see, the gospel is not a take it or leave it thing. Elsewhere, the gospel is spoken of as a command. God commands all men everywhere to repent, to reject God's invitation, to count it as not important, is to reject God himself. And to reject what God would have for you. It's a very, very serious thing. And for those who reject what God has to offer, and for those who reject God's invitation, there's only one answer, or there's only one verdict. We're all guilty anyway, as it is. And if we reject God's offer of mercy, there's nothing else. And there's no other salvation. And there's no other way to heaven, and there's no other means of forgiveness, and the only other option, the only other outcome, is the judgment of God forever. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? To be punished for your own sins. Forever. And ever. You see, the Lord Jesus has died to take the punishment for you. That tells me just how serious sin is, that the Son of God should come from heaven to die in the sinner's place. Tells me just how serious sin is. It's not just something we can treat lightly, not just something that we can say doesn't matter. It's something that if we don't deal with it, it will keep us from God's presence forever. And it will mean that instead of the Lord Jesus taking our punishment, we'll have to take it ourselves. It's not something that any of us would wish on anybody else. So we've got these responses. And what's the king to do? See, there are those who didn't want it. Well, the king says, well, go out again. Go out again. And go out into the highways. Go and find the tramps. Go and find those that are begging in the streets. Go and find those that are just walking around. Go and find whoever. You know, the message of the gospel goes out to whoever. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. And the invitation goes out. And the invitation has gone out and is going out. Throughout the world, the invitation is coming here this evening. And God wants heaven to be full. Are you going to be there? Are you going to respond to his invitation? Are you going to be there? It's interesting what he says about the people that were found. He went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as you can find, as they found, both bad and good. I want to tell you this evening that being in heaven doesn't depend on how good you are. And being kept out of heaven doesn't depend on how bad you are. You see, God is going to furnish heaven with those that are considered by people round about to be good people. And heaven is going to be populated with people that you wouldn't want to rub shoulders with. And you wouldn't want to have anything to do with. Heaven's going to be populated with what we would call the good and the bad. But you see, it's not going to be dependent on how good you are that will get you into heaven. Because there's only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus. And those who are good, and those who are morally upright, and those who are clean living, they're only going to be in heaven through trusting in the Lord Jesus. And those who are bad, and those who fill the prisons of our land, can only be in heaven on the same basis, through the Lord Jesus, who died for them. I don't know what you'd class yourself as this evening. Do you think you're good? Do you think you're bad? You say it doesn't really matter what you think about yourself. Because God sees us as sinners who need to be saved. And God sees us as sinners who can be saved through what the Lord Jesus has done. And God sees us as sinners who need to be saved. Whether we think we're good or whether we think we're bad, we need to be saved. And we need to be saved through the Lord Jesus. He needs to be the one who saves us. He needs to be the one whom we accept as our Saviour and trust as our Saviour and Lord. The story finishes with a solemn warning. Remember, it's a story. I mean, the question that's asked, how camest thou in without a wedding garment, is a very, very good one. Because I tell you this evening, you're not going to get into heaven without a wedding garment. You're not going to be there in the first place. But in the story, it's as if God is walking through, or the king is walking through the guests, and he sees them all. And he sees one who's there, who's not ready. I wonder if there's someone sitting here in the meeting this evening that just isn't ready. Are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for heaven? Or you might come here week after week. You might listen on the internet week after week. And you might go to a place where Christians meet, and you might meet with Christians. But are you ready? Are you ready? Have you got on a wedding garment? You say, well, what does that mean? I've got my suit on, if that's what you mean. He says, no, that's not what I mean. I'm dressed in a nice outfit and skirt and top and whatever. That's not what I mean. See, when the Bible speaks about salvation, The Bible would speak about putting on, like clothes, would speak about putting on Christ, wearing the Lord Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means simply this. It means trusting in him as your Saviour. And those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus as Saviour, it's like they put him on. And when God looks down at us now, those who put their trust in him, those who are Christians, as God looks down, he sees his Son. And we are accepted in him. And we are accepted in all his acceptability, in all his goodness, in all the merits of what he has done for us. Are you ready this evening? Have you got the right clothes on? Are you clothed with Christ? Have you got the Lord Jesus as your Saviour this evening? The invitation has gone out. And the invitation has gone out here again this evening. And this invitation, if you've never responded before, it demands a response. And God is pleading with you once again this evening. He's pleading with you to accept his invitation, to accept his offer of mercy, to accept his Son as your Saviour and as your Lord. What's your response going to be this evening? What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? What are you going to do with God's offer of salvation? Shall we pray? Father, this evening we thank thee again for the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, Father, that it's been our privilege to preach him this evening. We've not come here tonight, our Father, to speak about ourselves and speak about what we've done and speak about what we are. And we haven't come, our Father, tonight to pat each other on the back and say that we're doing okay, but our Father, we've come to speak about the Lord Jesus and to speak about what he has done so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be made right with thyself and made ready for heaven. And Father, we pray this evening that if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, we just pray that thou would impress these things upon them. If there's anyone listening outside, our Father, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, we pray, Father, that thou would impress these things upon them. And grant, our Father, that this evening they would come to an understanding of their need of the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, would respond to thine invitation of salvation and of mercy. So, Father, we give thee thanks for this time we've spent together, and we ask thy blessing to be upon us now as we part. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.